All right, so the word we're reading from today is Philippians 4, 14 through 19. So mom and dad were talking last night, and she was going to do the message, and they were trying to figure out what to do for the offering. And dad was like, oh, Lane can do it. And I was like, sure. And they took me seriously, so I'm doing it again. But yeah, while you're getting there, just an idea about this concept that I want to talk about. I do photography a lot, and something that kind of dawned on me late kind of last year, around December, is this terminology in camera called aperture. And aperture for camera is kind of an element of photography that helps control how much light comes into the camera and what is in focus when you're doing photography. So just kind of think about that when I'm doing this, because I'm going to come back to that and kind of end it on that. But starting in verse 14, we're ending on verse 19, which everybody should have an idea of Philippians 4 and 19. But starting in verse 14, I'm reading out the Passion because it says it really well. I love it in the Passion. So verse 14, it starts with saying, you've so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. And this is Paul talking to the church in Philippi about how when he first started out, they helped provide for his mission and his, you know, call. So if you're highlighting or underlining, highlight that verse for 14. You've so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. Reading on verse 15, for I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out to preach the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me financially. Highlight, circle that. It may not say the same thing in your translation, but the Passion translation really emphasizes that they were giving towards him. So highlight that one as well. And then verse 17, I mention this not because I am requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you an abundant reward. Now verse 18, I now have all I need, more than enough. I'm abundantly satisfied, for I received that gift you sent by Epap, and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice. So highlight that as well. So far, we should have at least four sections here that showed how the church in Philippians was giving to Paul continually, even when no other church would do that. Then he comes in with verse 19 and says that I'm convinced that God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through Christ Jesus. So this is something that I've kind of been going back to, is not just looking at a single verse and being like, wow, that's something I want on a card put on my mirror. No, this is something you got to go back and look at why. Why is this guarantee that they will have their needs fully satisfied? It's because they were continually giving to the work of God, which is something I never really saw before until, especially with the Passion Translation, it really opened that up to me. I was like, wow, if you think about it, they've been giving for years now. And he's like, well, guys, you've been doing this. He will provide. He's a faithful God. He'll come through when you guys need him, just like he came through for me. So this is why I want to go back to the aperture I was talking about. If I could retitle this, it'd be the giving aperture, because I think it's a really cool concept to think about. When you have a camera, you open up the aperture so it lets more light in, you only have less things in focus. It kind of, you think about like a portrait of a photo of some person. The one person's in focus, the background's blurry. They have the opening really wide to let the most light in they can, so that the background will blur and, you know, you get more light in. If you think about it in the other way, you close off the hole, you get less light, but you have a bigger view. So sometimes you're trying to find out, how can I get there? You know, what do I need to do to get to this end goal? And you're looking at the big picture. What do I need to do? How can I get these funds? How can I do this? Like the worship night, we were trying to figure it all out. If you just focus on that one thing, you open it up a little more, you start to give, you're opening up your giving aperture to let more light and more truth, and you start focusing on the one thing that God really wants you to focus on, and that's him. He's your provider. He's the one that he wants you focusing on. That's kind of the whole idea I had when I first started, you know, realizing. I was like, wow, this is a really cool concept. You think about, the bigger the hole is, the more light comes in, but only one thing is going to be in focus. The rest of it starts to fade out, and you just focus on that one thing, and that's God. So to me, that was kind of the main goal. And yeah, do you want me to pray or do you want me to just have him? Okay, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus God, that you are our provider. You will provide whenever we need it. Just like it said in Philippians 4:19, God, you will fully satisfy every need we have. And that could be anything physically, mentally, financially. That's every need. And thank you, God, that you will take our giving and you will multiply it abundantly and provide for us when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Wasn't that a good word this morning for tithes and offerings? I love it, because here's the deal. God blesses us through other people when they enlighten us. And I'm here to tell you, I went to Bible college. I've heard pastors for years and years, but I've never heard what he was talking about the pattern that the Philippian church was were giving, and they were giving, and they were giving, and when it came time for them, their need was met. That's awesome, right? And it's good to know the whole picture, not just one piece. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Lane, again for doing that. I appreciate it a lot. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in the room today. We have beautiful flowers that you feel free to take home with you. Everybody gets one. And happy Mother's Day to my mom. Such an amazing blessing for me to have her and my dad and my sister. Whew, in church today. It's been a long run, but we're running the opposite direction. Amen? Running toward miracles. Thank you, Mom, for all the things you've done. You know, it's amazing how that when you're a kid, your mom is your mom. But then somewhere in life, if you're doing it right, don't be your kid's friend when they're little. They don't need you to be a friend when they're little. They need you to be a mom. Okay? But there does come a point where this transition happens and a mom can become your best friend. That's the way it's supposed to be. We're not supposed to leave behind the generations that are behind us. We're supposed to take them with us. There's knowledge and wisdom that moms have that we can take forward. Amen? So thank you, Mom, for not only being my mom, but one of my best friends. And I also have a wonderful mother-in-law that's here today. Thank you, Mom, for all the things that you've done in our lives. We've been so blessed to have both sides of our family love the Lord and have the support of godly moms. Amen? And mothers in this room today, I want this to encourage you today. This is an exciting thing that God wants to share with us. As moms, we do many things, right? We wear all kinds of hats. First of all, let's talk about chores, right? I bet if we got paid a nickel, even a nickel, for every dish that we have washed over our entire lives as moms, we would be millionaires. How about 10 cents for every piece of laundry that you have washed, dried, folded, and put away, right? We're not looking for big amounts of money. Just give us the nickels and the dimes because we know how to put those together and we would be millionaires, right? I remember one time that I was doing the laundry when the kids were little and I thought it was a lot of laundry then. But, you know, times four kids, you have a lot of laundry. But it gets even more when they get older, right? Because the pants, they increase in size. So your laundry basket can go from zero to overflow in a second, right? And I remember one time I was complaining in the garage. I could see myself clearly when the kids were little. And I was like, ah, oh, there's so much laundry today. And the Lord said, really? Are you going to complain about that? Because I remember a time when you didn't have anybody in your life and you didn't have any kids, and that's all you wanted was children. And I said, you're right, Lord. I love laundry. I love laundry. Every piece reminds me of every blessing that I have. Amen? And so we do a lot of things as moms. We also sometimes can be coaches. We're cheerleaders, right? We're also their prayer warriors. We pray for them, but we're also their instructors. I mean, it goes on and on and on, the jobs that moms have. But as Christian moms, we're also called to train up our children in the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And I love this verse, but I also feel like that there's even deeper thing. If you train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. But if you train him right, they'll never depart. They'll never have to have one of those testimonies that they went into the world and came back. Amen? And the awesome part is God doesn't just tell us to train up our kids. He tells us how. In Deuteronomy 6:6-9, he says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. So the Lord has given us his word. If you have your Bible today or your phone today with the Bible on it, those are his words to us as moms. He says, if they will be in your heart, you shall teach them diligently to your children, verse 7, and shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What does that mean? You're talking about the Lord all the time with your children. Well, my kids are too little. Your kids are never too little. My kids are too old. Your kids are never too old to talk about the Lord. Amen? This is what God is calling us to do. In Proverbs 19:18, this is one that sometimes we struggle with, but this is part of training up our children. And the Passion Translation reads, well, read the NIV first. Discipline your children, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to their death. The Passion Translation says, don't be afraid to discipline your children while they are still young enough to learn. Don't indulge your children or be swayed by their protests. Those little sad faces, right? But mom, no. No, I tell my kids all the time, that is not how I'm going to respond to you by those faces, right? I'm going to stick to my guns. Why do we need to stick to our guns? It gives our children boundaries. And when kids have boundaries, then they feel secure and they feel safe. Now, this doesn't say beat your child within an inch of their life. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? There is a way to discipline your child. But we do need to discipline. And they may not like you. Guess what? That's okay. You're not their friend at this point, right? You're their mom. So you instruct them in the way that they should go. And in Psalm 112, 1 through 3, the NIV, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. That's us as moms. Our children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people who will be blessed. When we follow and we fear the Lord and we follow his commands, our children will be blessed. Amen? It's a blessing that we pass down to them. As moms, our children are a gift that we've been given from the Lord. We're supposed to plant the word in their hearts and help them to grow up in him. This isn't just a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Amen? And when I think about the word grow, I feel like the Lord gave me an acronym for that. So we're going to look at things that have to do with the word grow. Because as moms, we should be making things grow. Amen? So today we're going to start with the G. And this really is for anybody in the room today, but specifically moms. But how many people know the word of a God applies to everyone? Right? So you may have a situation in your life where you're ministering to somebody. And you've planted a seed, just like a mom will plant a seed in her child. These apply to you. We have all kinds of flowers. Everyone is different, right? And even our kids, they're all going to be different. You can't sometimes discipline one the same as you discipline another. Also rewards. You can't reward one the same as you do another. Why? Because they're all different. I remember calling my mom when Luke came along. Sorry, Luke. Luke was my out-of-the-box kid, like literally out of the box. I never closed the bathroom doors. We never had a problem with any of our little ones going in the bathroom until Luke. And from the moment that child could crawl, he had an affliction with our toilet. And it was terrible, I am telling you. He could barely pull himself up, little. And I would come in, and this one time, I called my mom hysterical, asking her if he could poison himself with used toilet paper in a toilet that hadn't been flushed. Because I walked around the corner, and there's Luke, big old smile, and toilet paper from the toilet hanging out his cheek. It was terrible, right? And I remember her telling me, you just got to pray. God has a plan for each one of them. And if you ask the Lord how to handle him, he'll show you. He was also my kid that you couldn't spank. You know why? He would say, thank you, mommy, and he would go play. Thank you, mommy, for a spanking. And he always left the room with a smile. And I'm like, I'm spanking you just as hard as I spanked everybody else. But it just didn't faze him, right? But I prayed, and the Lord helped me with an answer for him. This one did not like to be alone. He was the last, so he always had people around him. So when he had to go to his room and sit alone, it was pure torture. I was like, this is easy. This is no stress on mom. I don't even have to spank him, right? But the Lord gave me those instructions. He will give you instructions for every one of your kids. You may say, well, my child's all the way grown up. Guess what? We're always growing. We're always growing. When you have a plant or a bush or a flower, it's always growing, right? So it always needs your attention. So let's start with G. Give it time. Once we plant a seed of truth into our kids' lives, we need to remember to give it time to take root and grow. Somebody have a clicker? Thank you. Give it time. Galatians 6:9 says, let's not be weary in doing well or doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. James 5:7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain. We don't want to grow weary in the seeds we've planted. Give it time to grow. Sometimes as parents, we plant a truth into our kids' lives, and we would like it to be a supernatural thing that the next day they wake up and glory be, that seed has come to a plant and they have changed, right? Or someone that you've planted a seed in your life and you've told them a truth and you're just waiting for the next time you walk into work and that person's going to be different. Well, how many people know I can't plant a seed in the ground in my backyard and walk out the next day and see it green? Why? Because first, actually, it has to take root, right? It has to grow roots into the ground. And then eventually we see the little green that comes to the top, right? But even then, is it fully a plant or a bush? No, it's a little tiny piece of green, right? So we have to give it time. When we plant seeds of truth into our children, we need to give it time to grow in their lives. And sometimes that means you water it a little bit here and you water it a little bit there. Sometimes other people come along and will sprinkle a little bit of truth on it until it grows, until one day they walk in and they say, Mom, this person I was just talking to, they shared this amazing truth with me, and I got it. And I'm thinking, didn't I tell you that 3 months ago, right? Because that's the amazing thing about when you plant a truth into your child's life. Sometimes the revelation of what you've planted doesn't come about until you give it time to fully grow. Amen? This includes adult children. Sometimes you'll be praying for them and waiting for an answer, and you don't see it, and you're ready to give up. Can I tell you something? Don't grow weary. Why? Because if you will give it time, God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie, right? When he speaks, he acts. And when you stand on what he has spoken, it will come to pass. Amen? So you've got to give it time. G for grow. The next one is R. Recognize potential weeds. How many people have ever been in their garden or in their flower beds, and all of a sudden there's these things that you did not plant, and they're starting to appear in your yard, right? How many people love dandelions? They're terrible, right? And they just flourish, it seems like, overnight. Well, we need to be paying attention as moms and recognize if there are potential weeds that are trying to get into our kids' lives. What does that mean? That means Luke 8:5-8. A sower went out to sow seed, and he sowed. Some fell along the traveled path and was trodden underfoot. The birds of the air ate it up. And some seed fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprouted, it withered away because it had no moisture. And other seed fell amidst the thorns. Somebody say thorns. And the thorns grew up with it and choked it off. And some seed fell on the good soil and grew up and yielded a crop 100 times as great. So we have to make sure that when we plant the seeds, we're also looking for potential weeds or thorns, the same idea, that come in and what? Choke out the truth. Now, when your kids are little, it's a lot easier to recognize weeds and to take care of them, right? That's where discipline comes into. If you have a child that's constantly talking back to you, that has to be dealt with. That's a weed. That's a weed that will choke out the truth of God's word, that they're supposed to honor you, right? That every word that proceeds from their mouth is supposed to be something that is good and pleasing to the Lord, right? And that's our job as parents. It's kind of like when they learn to ride a bike, right? What do? You just let them get on and go? No. What are you doing? You're steering them from the back, right? You've got a handle on the back seat, and you're guiding them, right? You're looking for anything potentially that could make them fall off or get hurt, right? The same idea here, recognizing the potential weeds. as praying godly moms, we can see those weeds just as they start to break through the surface. Sometimes before they even get there, you get a sense of something's not right. Something's not right. What do? You begin to pray. You begin to pray, Father, I'm recognizing there is a weed in the flower bed of my child's heart. And I may not know exactly what it is, but I know there's something there. And then as it starts to rise up, you can tell, it's a blackberry. Oh, it's a dandelion. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. I remember this one time I was cleaning a flower bed for a friend, and I started to pull a weed, and it kept going. You ever done that before where you pull a weed, and it's like it kept going and going? I literally was like this. It was crazy. It was this maze that had gone underneath the flower bed. It was like the whole flower bed was moving as I'm pulling it up. Because sometimes the roots from the weed are extensive. We don't want it to get extensive. So how do we stop that? We pay attention as moms. We're recognizing, we're looking. God, is there something I need to be praying for my child today? Is there something I need to be standing in the gap for them? And when your children are little, it says that that's the time that you should speak into their life, or you should tell them, or you should discipline them to help them so that they stay out of trouble in the future. And when their children are older, that's where your prayers and standing on the word is even more effective. Amen? Because sometimes when we say things, just leave my weeds alone. Right? That's what you get. Leave my weeds alone. Okay, Lord, they said to leave them alone, but I'm not going to. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and darkness that tries to come into our kids' lives, right? So we voice when we can, but if there is a wall that stands up and says, nah, I don't want to hear that, then you pray. Why do you pray? Because you have an anointing as a mom to pray and to speak into your child's life and to see things turn around in Jesus' name. We need to be watchful, alert, and prayerful, asking the Lord to help us to keep the weeds out of our children's lives. So give it time. Recognize potential weeds. And in grow, optimize the light. I love how Lane brought that up about the aperture, about a camera, and how you can have more light or less light, right? The sun is a powerful tool in causing things to grow, the actual sun. And guess what? The Son of God, S-O-N, is also a powerful tool in causing things in our children's lives to grow too. So we need to let the light shine in our own lives and through our example so that they can see that, encouraging them to do things that keep them in the light as well. So what does that mean? If we're not walking in the light, they're not going to see the light, and they're not going to see the light for themselves. Amen? If you're walking around in the dark and you're expecting your child to find the way to the light, you've got to turn some light on, right? We need to make sure that we as moms are staying in the Word, that we're staying connected with the source of the light, so that when they come around us, the light exposes the darkness. Amen? We talked about this in our women's Bible study, about how God made light shine into the darkness and why it's so important that we recognize that. Because when we walk into a circumstance or situation, that light comes on. Now, sometimes when you have older kids and they're doing things they're not supposed to be doing and your light walks into their life, they're going to go, oh. Why? Because they're living in a darkness they know they're not supposed to be living in. So if their reaction to you is kind of offensive, it's not you. It's the Jesus in you. Amen? And you're bringing to light things that need to change. Don't stop shining your light. You know why? Eventually they're going to crave and they're going to want to be in the light and to see clearly the things that you have in your life. It's the same when you're witnessing to somebody at work or in your family. Don't overreact if they overreact to you just being there. Why? Because your light exposes the darkness they're living in. And they don't want to see it. They don't want to deal with it, right? So it's not us. It's the Jesus in us. Amen? But that's why it's so important for our kids to know there is a light they can go to. That's why we have to stay in the light ourselves. So if our kids do wander off or do slip off into the darkness, they know, I know that I know, if I call mom, I'm going to get the light. I'm going to get the truth. I'm going to be able to see clearly. That's why people who aren't serving the Lord but are right on the fence, they'll call you and say, will you pray for this for me? They don't feel like they can pray themselves yet, but they know if I go to the light, I'll be able to see clearly, and they'll pray for me, and something will happen. And eventually it comes to the point where they want that light for themselves. Amen? John 8:12 says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Hallelujah. We don't ever have to walk in darkness. Our children don't ever have to walk in darkness. But we will have the light of life. Who is that? Jesus. Jesus is in us. When we walk in Jesus and in the light, that light spreads to our children. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Here we see light symbolizes God's protection and deliverance. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This verse illustrates the illuminating power of God's word in guiding us. Do you see how important light is? We see that it helps us to walk in it so we can see clearly. It's protection and deliverance, and it's guiding us. So when your kids are going through a rough time and they're not sure, do I turn to the right or the left? Then be the light. Tell them, what does the word of God say? What does it say? It says, whether you turn to the right or left, he'll be the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We can be encouraging to our children when we optimize the amount of light. Don't let your aperture be like this. Let it be like this. So they can see clearly for themselves through your example. As much as we can, we need to get our kids into the light. That might be sending them a verse, sending them a song. If you're raising younger children, it might be choosing to have a Bible study with them or doing a nightly devotion, praying with your kids. All these things may seem simple, but they are life-altering. Okay, they are life-altering. When your child calls you, if you have an adult child and they're going through a difficulty, stop them and say, let's pray first. Mom. No, let's pray and ask the Lord for wisdom. Mom, that's your thing, that's not mine. Well, you called me. You called me, so let's pray about it first. What are you doing? You're helping them to optimize the light and the potential to see the answer. And the last thing, so we have give it time, recognize potential weeds, optimize the light, and the last one is water with love. The last part that the Lord showed me here was the idea of watering our children with love, but not in the sense of, you know, there's those spigots on, or not spigots, but attachments on the end of your hose, and there are some that you can turn and it's like, it can blow everything away, right? It literally takes everything out, but then you can click it a couple more and it's like rain, okay? The love we're supposed to water on them is not blowing them away. If we blow them away, all that's gonna do is push them away. We need to water them with love like a gentle rain. A gentle rain that will make them feel the love of God coming through us. They already know, for the most part, that they're walking in something that's wrong. They don't really need your laser jet water aimed at their heart to clean them out, right? What's that going to do? It's going to make them walk further away. What do they need? The gentle rain that's soothing and healing. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13:8, and like Lane, I'm going to read it from the Passion Translation because it's just a really powerful picture. This is what we as moms are supposed to be doing, well, even as Christians, are supposed to be doing when we water with love. Love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when a blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seeking its own honor. Love is not easily irritable or quick to take offense. Love is joyful, celebrating honesty, and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. Love never stops loving. Wow, doesn't that just, it's almost like a, like you can feel this love that's being described. And so many times it can be so easy as a parent to get upset at your child, to get frustrated with them. But you need to take yourself back to 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. And you need to remember what love is. This is a description of who God is, for God is love. But we are Christ-like. That means we should be like him. So these are things that we should be reminding ourselves when there's that temptation to get upset or to get angry or to get frustrated or to get weary. I've been praying for my child for years and nothing is happening, right? What does it say? It says love never gives up. It doesn't give up. Why? Because you know that with time, that water is going to penetrate and it's going to cause what you have planted to grow and to flourish. A couple years ago, well, actually, it's more than a couple. I think it was like 6 or 7. We changed our front yard and how it was set up because the boys started throwing footballs out there and I had plants in the front of the yard and they got in the way. Imagine that. And so after a couple broken branches, not broken bones, but broken branches, I decided to transplant them and move them. And when I did, it was like for years, I was thinking, are they ever going to take again? And am I going to see things happen? And I would water them and pray over them. Because I had big ones in the yard too, so it kind of looked funny, you know, and funky because you have these 2 little ones or 3 little ones and they weren't growing. And actually, I think I talked to my dad. I'm like, should I just take them out? And he's like, oh, give them time. Give them time. They're resilient. Give them time. It'll come back. And guess what? This year, they are beautiful. This year, they are finally reaching up and reaching out. This year, they are blooming and blossoming like you would never believe. They look like my other bushes this year. Not quite as tall, but they're getting there. Amen? It's important that we don't give up. It's important that we don't quit. It's important that we just, well, I don't see any results. It's been 2 or 3 years. I guess my kids, they're just gone. No. Water them with your love. How do we do that? Telling them that you love them. Well, I may not love them today. Well, you still tell them that you love them. Sometimes love is an act of faith. Amen? And so we have to take that act of faith. But can I tell you this? If you always focus on the negative of your child, that's all you're going to see. If you just see negative and you see negative and you see negative, you will just come to expect negative. But if you see negative and you say, you know what? No, Lord, I forgive them. They're being ornery, but I forgive them and I love them. I love them. And say their name. I love this one. I love this one. I love this. I love them. You know what happens? You begin to change. And they begin to feel the difference in you toward them. Because even though we don't try to do it, if you're constantly negative about someone, they feel your negativity. They can see it all over your face. You think you're hiding it, but you're really not. And they know you're disappointed with them. They know that you're upset with them. But if you change how you're thinking of them and you change how you're responding to them, guess what? They are going to change as well. They're going to feel the love. I remember when the kids were little and you go through discipline and you're trying to break them of something. And what do? They want to challenge you. They want to see, have you really changed? Are you really going to stick with it? Right? So they push a little bit. And if you don't take care of the little push, then they push harder and push harder. Right? And I know some parents do this, but I don't recommend it. I remember one time I was in the store and there was this mom and she had this little boy. What do they say in the South? Bless your little heart. Because she just was not doing well with him. And I remember hearing her as he's screaming, and she's like, I'm going to count to three, and you'd better change by three. And there's like, I think it was an older gentleman, a couple people back behind me, and he's like, how about we don't count, we just take care of him? Because how many people know it doesn't matter how much you count, they're not going to change unless they know you're going to do something, right? Which she didn't. She counted to three and said, fine, just get the candy bar. And I'm thinking, oh, girl, you're setting yourself up for some problems, right? We don't give in. We have to stand our ground. And yet we walk in love. Amen? Amen. Love is one of the greatest gifts that we can give our children. Unconditional love. There's a lot of parents that love, and there's an expectation. They want to be loved back in a certain way, or they want a certain something for them, right? That's not how we love. We love without conditions and without expectations, because if you love no matter what, guess what? You won't be disappointed, right? If you're loving because you love them, not loving because you're expecting something back for them. Because I got something to tell you. We're all human, so we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to have times that we slip up. So if you're expecting your child to be perfect, you're in for disappointment. Expect your child to be loved because, bottom line, you love them. And when a child knows that no matter what, you're going to love them, it changes how they respond to things. It changes how they view things themselves, because they know they don't have to work for your love. Your love is a guarantee. When we water our children's lives with this kind of love, it will help them to grow into what God has for them. As moms, we're supposed to help our children to grow up in the Lord. They are all unique, and they all will grow in a different way. If we'll stay consistent, if we'll give it time, if we'll recognize the potential weeds, if we'll optimize the light in their life and water them with love, then they will reach the full potential that God has for them. And you know what? We'll be blessed along the way. Because when you are giving it time and you're looking out for them and you're trying to shine the light as much as possible and you're watering with love, it changes who you are inside. It makes you different. So you're not responding in anger. You're not responding in a negative way. You're responding in love because you're focusing on wanting them to grow, which means you're also growing. The only reason that a plant dies is because it stops growing. We're always growing in life. And if we stop growing, then we start dying. It's just a simple truth, right? So we want to stay in the Word. We want to continue growing in the Lord ourselves so that we can help our children to grow up in the Lord as well. So this is for moms, yes, but it's also for all of us in this room, because we all deal with different people in our lives that we're planting seeds in. And it's an encouragement. Make things grow. Be the kind of person that brings life everywhere you go instead of death. What does that mean? Don't be negative. Don't give up on people. Don't just, well, they're on their own. Don't do that. Be a part of helping in the body of Christ, not only in your family, but your extended family and friends. Be interceding and praying for people, shining the light of Jesus everywhere you go and watering people with his love. It makes a difference and it changes people. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for this word this morning, Father. Help us to make things grow. For the moms in this room, giving us supernatural wisdom for our children. We don't ever stop being moms. There isn't a point that we reach where they've grown up so much that they don't need us. God, there's every stage of life, there is a need for a mom. And Father, I pray that as moms, we would stay in the Word. We would stay close with you in relationship with you, Father, so that when things our kids need to be imparted into them, we'll have that godly wisdom. Because more often than not, Father, a child will go back to its mom for help. They'll go back to their mom for support. And I just thank you, Lord, today for every mom in this room, Lord, that first of all, she would recognize that you are with her. that you're helping her, that you're leading her, you're guiding her, that for all the circumstances and situations for each of her children that they go through, Lord, you are giving her the wisdom for each of them. You are showing her, Father, their full potential. You're helping her to love them unconditionally. You're giving her the patience as it takes for time for things to grow in their lives. And you're helping her, Father, to be the warrior that they need to be able to pray against the strategies and the plans of the devil. Father, we thank you that we want to be moms that make things grow, and specifically in the lives of our children. But for everyone today, Father, for anyone who's planted a seed in anyone's life, Father, I pray that you would encourage them. Help them not to give up. Help them to keep going. Help them to pray over that person. Help them to shine the light of Jesus and to water with your love every seed that they have planted. And Father, I pray today a special blessing on every mom in this room, God. Encourage, strengthen, and bless today. Encourage, strengthen, and bless. One more time. Encourage, strengthen, and bless them today. May they feel your presence in their life like never before. And bless every child in this room that is represented today. Father, if they are not serving you, if they are not in church, we call them in from the north, south, east, and the west. We say they are saved, set free, and set on fire for Jesus. We thank you for those that have not, maybe not even spoken to you in years. They're going to get phone calls, Father. You're going to get letters. You're going to get emails and texts today in Jesus' name. We praise you in advance, Father, for the miracles that you are doing, for the seeds that have been sown that are coming to fruition and that are going to rise up, Father, in these last days and be, like the word said, a generation for the Lord. We praise you and we thank you for all of these things today in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.